This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. You may recognize the name J.J. Settlemyer as the animator of the Comedy Central program TV Funhouse and cartoons on Saturday Night Live, such as the ambiguously gay duo Ex-Presidents and Fun with Real Audio. He's also animated early episodes of Beavis and Butthead, created animated logos for MTV, then animation for the Cartoon Network, and worked on TV commercials. A while back on Fresh Air, we talked with Robert Smigel, the writer who collaborated with Settlemyer on TV Funhouse and the Saturday Night Live animations. Before we talk with J.J. Settlemyer, let's hear the first Settlemyer-Smigel collaboration. Their first project together was for Saturday Night Live in 1992. They created an ad satirizing fast food commercials. Their ad was for a restaurant called Cluckin' Chicken.
Cluckin' at the Cluckin' Chicken.
That's me!
The Cluckin' Chicken.
Hey, Clucky, why is the Cluckin' Chicken so chickalicious?
Everybody knows why. It's 'cause I'm flame broiled. Yowzy, yow, down! But that's not all! I'm cooked fresh! First, my head's cut off! Heads up! Then I'm plucked and gutted! My intestines are pulled out! Trust me, you don't want them!
Whee! Look at me! I'm getting quartered and split!
Breast, wings, the whole nine yards!
Chompity chomp!
Then the pieces of me get flame broiled! Hear that sizzle? That's me! 550 degrees! Good thing I'm dead, or yowee!
I asked J.J. Settlemyer about working on that mock commercial.
I was so excited to work on that. The production process for Saturday Night Live was extraordinarily arduous because they're not used to producing commercials outside of their realm, I don't think. I mean, here's a case where they had to deal with a production company that was going to take an aspect of the commercial and do an aspect of it that was going to have to match with the live action and so forth. And the turnaround time was very fast. And there were changes that we had to confront. And, oh, Robert and I weren't agreeing on stuff. And frankly, after Clucky, I did not think I'd ever work with Robert Smigel again. The product came out great. And then after that, we got a call from the Conan O'Brien office. The show wasn't on the air yet. And from after that, we did the titles to Conan. And then he went on to the Dana Carvey show. And that's where the Ambiguously Gay Duo started.
Well, the Ambiguously Gay Duo is really funny. Describe the premise for any of our listeners who haven't seen it.
It takes the old idea of the Batman and Robin and the adult with a young boy ward living in a mansion together, and the innuendo of them being gay, and pushes it further. With anything from the way their costumes being a little bit tighter than normal and certain situations that come up with how they get themselves out of jams. And I think Robert and I both agree that if they had to say whether they were gay or not, they're not. You know, it's just everyone's preoccupation with whether they're gay or not.
And of course, you really have fun with the way superheroes are dressed, you know, in the tights and the capes. Now, of course, in the tights of the Ambiguously Gay Duo, you have an extraordinarily large bulge. How did you figure out exactly how big to make the bulge so that it would be funny without being overly caricatured?
We actually went into months of testing where the networks had their standards and practices go into testing. And the testing wasn't done in this country, actually. It was done in another country. It was just taking it. It was taking it as far as we could take it without being totally preoccupied with the visual aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking their car with a long fuselage, you know, and so forth. And it also, it not only plays on that, but it puts it in the context. The style of the cartoon is done like all the Saturday morning terrible, terrible animation that I grew up with, that were basically animated radio scripts. I mean, the animation had nothing to do with animation. It was just making a radio script move, you know. So there were two things going on here. One was doing the play on the Batman and Robin thing, or the gay thing, and the other thing was doing a play on the Saturday morning cartoon stuff. So that ultimately, too, conveniently enough, made it easier to produce because we didn't have to be as careful about doing beautiful drawings and, you know, flamboyantly intricate animation and so forth.
What are some of the cartoons that you grew up with?
Well, I had the cartoons I liked, and then I had the cartoons I grew up with. The cartoons I liked were the Warner Brothers and the MGM and so forth. And the cartoons I grew up with were the Hanna-Barbera Filmation, totally inadequate, boring Saturday morning things. I never liked the Flintstones. I never liked the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man cartoons, and it was very frustrating because I read comic books and I learned to draw from comic books, but this is all we had, so I'd watch it, but it was always so stupid. So it was fun to be able to do a parody like this.
Now, you mentioned that you really loved the Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, Daffy Duck.
Because they were funny.
Yeah. Well, how did you see them? Were they on TV then? Or
yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Chicago, and you could see them. They showed them on TV. They never had Tom and Jerry on in Chicago. I didn't see Tom and Jerry until after I moved to New York. But there were some MGM. I did get to see some Tex Avery when I was a kid that I remember loving. But the Disney stuff, as you know, we'd always go see the Disney stuff when it would come out in theaters, you know, and they divvy it out and you get to see Pinocchio every 7 years or whatever it was. And I used to love and get excited to go to Disney stuff, but I never laughed at Disney cartoons. They weren't going for the laugh. They were going for the, you know, the beauty and all that stuff. But I was much more drawn to the and Rocky and Bullwinkle. Too. Mm-hmm. I loved Rocky and Bullwinkle because I could watch that with my dad and he would laugh at that. I didn't always understand what he was laughing at, but I knew we could laugh at it together.
Well, we were talking about the ambiguously gay duo. You're doing another superhero now, Captain Linger, which has been, I think, on the Cartoon Network. Would you describe right. this character?
Captain Linger is, he's a superhero with all of the powers and abilities of a superhero. But he's kind of clueless when it comes to interaction with other people. He's kind of clueless when it comes to the stereotypical, obligatory sort of things that a superhero does after they've performed the feat. He may save the library from burning, but then after he's done that, it's like he's punched out. He's having a hot dog, and when it comes to helping, you know, the townspeople clean up or go through the whole task, he's like whatever. It's not malicious. He's just kind of dim
and dull.
And dull.
Let's hear him after having put out a big fire in the town. Here he is talking with the hot dog vendor.
Mister, I thought I'd seen it all, but this beats all I ever seen.
What else have you seen?
Plenty.
And this beats it?
Oh, heck yeah.
I saw a TV show once where they showed a doctor operating on a kneecap.
Okay. How about a dog?
Thank you.
Boy, there's a mess if I've ever seen one.
I figure you're talking weeks, maybe months to clean that up.
Wow, yes, sir. You're talking city crews with trucks, loaders, and a month of overtime to handle this business.
Not counting the time it'd take to rebuild. All them little kids with no story time. No books or out-of-town papers.
You know what I like to do with out-of-town papers? I like to look at the difference in real estate prices around the country.
Man.
J.J. Settlemyer, did you draw Captain Linger so that he would look as dull as he sounds?
In a way, yes. And the reason I answer it that way is because the original idea behind Captain Linger, as it was proposed to me by cartoon Stuart Hill, who's the one who thought of the idea at Cartoon Network, was that it was going to have kind of like a Rocky and Bullwinkle approach. In other words, the look of the character and the look of the cartoon itself was going to be cartoony. So in terms of him being drawn dull, I thought a comic book approach, a straight approach, something that was more rooted in a serious or a more serious approach, wasn't going to telegraph that something very strange or funny was going to happen. And that's why he's drawn the way he's drawn. There's nothing unusual about him. He looks like he could certainly be a superhero. He's a little paunchy, but we did that just to kind of lend, again, a little bit more reality to the situation. And so I think that's pushed the humor a little further than it would have gone.
What I like about Captain Linger is I think we've all met people who we thought would be really interesting because they do such interesting work. They're so dull.
Well, I hope that's that Captain doesn't Linger. Apply to this interview.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That
yes,
you're one of those guys.
Very subtle the way you do that.
Now, did you grow up with a lot of superheroes, reading them in the comics? Or
yes. Mm-hmm. I grew up not only reading comic books, but I grew up reading my father's comic books. And so superheroes.
Oh, so they were older ones.
They were older ones, and he's kept them to this day.
That's funny because it's usually the parents who throw out the comics.
I know. No, I grew up in a very creative, artistic family, and we were not one of the ones that threw away the comic books. We were the ones that kept the comic books. We were the ones who went through the garbage and pulled out the ones that other people threw away. So comic books, and especially when I was younger, Superman was an incredible driving force in my life, from the TV show to the comic books and anything I could get my hands on. I used to sit with comic books and draw constantly. And as I got older, I think I was able to slide into anatomy classes much easier because of learning to draw from comic books.
My guest is animator J.J. Settlemyer. He's animated many of the Saturday Night Live cartoons, as well as the Comedy Central program TV Funhouse. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Animator J.J. Settlemyer is my guest. You've done a bunch of commercials. Let's talk about one of them. One of them is for the Episcopal New Church Center. Describe this commercial and what you were told by the church when it approached you.
This spot was really exciting for me because it came to us. It didn't come to us directly from the church. It came through an advertising agency in Dallas, the Richards Group. They had already done a print campaign of some posters that they had sent me to show me how serious they were about doing edgy work. And the reason they were serious about doing edgy work is they were trying to reach a group for the church that the church and most churches, for that matter, have trouble reaching. It's like young teenagers who see church advertising and basically go, give me a break, you know. You talk to me on my level kind of thing. And so they had a basic outline of what they wanted to do. And again, they're starting out with a cartoon approach that is kind of like early 60s, kind of like a visit to the dentist sort of approach. Something that looks totally innocuous and harmless. And the idea is a father's talking to his son about he's playing catch with his son, and they're gonna go to church this weekend, and they're gonna have a lot of fun doing Bible sword drills and sing Kumbaya and all. And the father starts going off and clapping his hands and singing, and the son sees this and realizes that this is almost a fate worse than death, and goes and stands out in the middle of the street, and you hear a truck horn honk, and then you cut. Well. It's really jarring. It's really disturbing, but it's exactly the sort of thing that the pastor, Gene Bolin, and this is for one church in Baltimore, this is exactly what he needed to start forming this new flock, and it's worked marvelously for him, and it continues to work for him.
Yeah, the idea of the commercial was, this is what you think church is, but our church is different.
If you got a problem with church, come talk to us. We talk to you on your level. Yeah. So
what's the animation style that you used for this?
Kind of like an early 1960s industrial film look, something almost like a film strip kind of look. It looks like an illustrated brochure on a trip to the dentist or something. Really, really watered down illustration look. We even faded the color out a little bit just to make it seem dry.
Your father did TV commercials, including the very famous commercial, Where's the Beef?
Mm-hmm.
So when you watched TV with your father, did he have intelligent conversations with you about the commercials and about the graphics?
It wasn't like, now you see that, son? That's Helvetica type. It has no serifs. And he didn't start clapping and singing Kumbaya either. We'd watch stuff together, and we liked the same kind of stuff. He's been an incredible influence on me. But it wasn't a conscious kind of critique we would go through. There was the observance more than anything else, and the exposure that he gave me to stuff, all sorts of stuff, whether it was animation, whether it was motion pictures, whether it was whether it was artists, illustrators. I mean, he was interested in being a cartoonist when he was younger. And the fact that I was looking at not only my comic books, but his comic books as well, it set us up for having a lot in common, and we still do.
Let's talk about another animation that you've done with Robert Smigel that's been on Saturday Night Live, Fun with Real Audio. Again, describe the premise of this.
The premise is you take existing audio and you animate scenarios, situations that sometimes relate directly to the audio, other times have nothing to do with it. You take Larry King and Ross Perot in an interview on the Larry King Show, and it starts out like a normal interview, but as they're talking, not losing a beat, they're hang gliding together. They're in a bathtub together with Larry King scrubbing his back. They make a transition to being in a restaurant under the table talking to each other and looking under a woman's dress as they're talking. And because you're not losing a beat in the audio, it becomes very funny because they just appear to be going on talking and doing their normal thing. That we did debates. When we started doing the Saturday Night Live stuff, it was an election year, so there were plenty of political pieces to work off of.
So you're drawing real people and using actual audio that's come from interviews
we're drawing
or
the
from
people,
speeches. Yeah.
We're drawing the people that are talking, but we're taking advantage of the fantasy realm of animation to do things to the people, with the people, that you couldn't possibly do with any other medium, or not have the flexibility to do anyway.
And of course, all the real people you're drawing are very caricatured. Has anyone ever threatened to sue or gotten at least very angry with you for the way you've depicted them?
On the contrary, I haven't heard of anyone taking offense. Not that I would get the letters personally, but we received much more positive response. Tom Snyder, who we did a real audio piece on with an interview he did with Dolly Parton, he ended up showing the cartoon on his show on CBS. We actually put together a piece of artwork and sent it to Al Gore because he wanted a drawing of himself getting hit over the head by Newt Gingrich. I didn't hear of one person being upset about anything.
In the title card in the TV Funhouse stuff that you do with Robert Smigel, where there's a guy and a dog, and the dog is chasing a towel or something.
The dog tears down the show, the photograph of whoever's hosting, and then Lorne Michaels, is chasing after the dog, saying, "Give me back my show." The cartoon is supposed to be taking over the show. And that's why he gets in the tussle with the cartoon with the dog at the very end too.
I never got that.
Oh boy!
was that your invention that
No, that was Robert's idea. Robert's idea, okay. And Yeah, we had to show that to Lauren in pencil test form before the first show.
Uh-huh.
And he seemed to enjoy it enough.
Well, J.J. Settlemeyer, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
J.J. Settlemeyer animated the pilot for the new series Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, which premieres on the Cartoon Network this fall. This is Fresh Air.